Good evening. It's Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY, and you've tuned in to Know Your States, Know Your Community. This is a weekly program wherein we interview two individuals each week, one from each of the 50 states, and that should take us about 25 weeks. We move on now to the Tar Heel State, the Old North State, the ninth most populous state in the country, with 11 million people living there. It was the 12th state inducted into the Union on November 21st, 1789. We are talking about North Carolina with a North Carolinian named Mark Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And where are you from in North Carolina?
I am from Asheville. So, okay. Up in the mountains.
Okay.
I've been to Asheville.
Yeah.
I haven't. I've never been to North Carolina.
You should. That's about the only place in North Carolina I've been to, but wow.
Yes. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful place. Lots of people and mountains. You were in the mountains in Asheville.
Absolutely.
Tucked away in the coves and the hollers.
So. I have to ask you, do you get back at all?
Yeah, I do. My folks live about an hour east of there. So I go check on them, make sure they're doing all right. And
were they impacted by the...
By the floods?
By the floods.
No, they weren't. They were far enough out of the mountains that they were safe. But I had friends who lost everything. So it was pretty intense.
I saw over-air footage of the flood zone and... Boy, was it devastating.
But yeah,
big time. Let's think about happy things in Asheville. What was it like to grow up in Asheville?
So, side note, I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is center of the state, hour north of Charlotte. And then when I was nine, moved to Asheville. But Asheville kind of like formed me as who I am and who you're talking to. And born in Greensboro, but Asheville was where I kind of like came to be myself.
Can you talk about that as a kid growing up in Asheville?
Yeah.
I take it you'd be exploring the mountains.
Yeah,
there being was outdoors.
Yeah, and I was also so for people who know me here in town, I was homeschooled for my entire 12 years of school. So, you know, just me and my mom and dad, so an only child homeschooler, which was great in the sense that I got to spend a lot of time in the woods, backpacking, climbing, snowboarding, all that good stuff. When most kids were in school, I was climbing trees and on the Appalachian Trail. Because I think you had mentioned the Appalachian Trail. And
absolutely.
And so I spent a lot of time doing, you know, school projects. So my childhood was spent really enjoying the mountains around Asheville and couldn't have been a better place to grow up.
Can I ask you, this is not away from North Carolina, but you said you were homeschool.
Yeah.
And you were the only one. You had no siblings.
Yes.
How was it to shift from parent, child to teacher, student and back and forth? I mean, do you see I'm getting at different roles?
I personally think that I did quite well. I'm sure if you ask my mom right now, she would. There were a few times a very thick school book was tossed at my head. But other than that, I think it went great. I grew up around adults, a lot of adults through traveling. And I feel like that just really kind of helped shape me and be able to get outside the box of just being a only child homeschooler and played sports and did all that good stuff.
You were out in the woods. I was surprised to read just now that there are 11 million people in North Carolina.
Yes.
It is not a particularly rural state, at least not anymore.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, like growing up, there was so much farmland and mountains without homes on them. And, you know, Charlotte is a massive town and Raleigh and just about every 65, 75 miles, you're near a town of, you know, 500,000 people. So it just goes and goes and goes and goes.
Yeah, I can look this up, but what is the biggest city in North Carolina?
Charlotte is going to be the largest city.
Okay.
And it's just booming. So it kind of spills out into South Carolina, which we won't talk about South Carolina.
But That's nice. Well, what is the relationship between the Carolinas? I don't actually know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if we were in North Carolina right now, you know, it's, if you're from South Carolina, you know, you don't talk about those North Carolinians, those good for nothing Yankees. And if you're from North Carolina, you don't talk about this. The Southerners from the Low Country.
Ooh, Low Country.
The Low Country. Yeah.
Can you say that lower? The Low Country.
From Charleston. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
It's interesting there are so many cities in North Carolina. They're not. You're right that Raleigh or that Charleston is the biggest, but. Then we mentioned Raleigh, Asheville.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. I think what's crazy about North Carolina too is it's grown so much, you know. Uh-huh. I was born in the early 80s and you driving through North Carolina, like you can literally see every state license plate. It's just the amount it's grown and the diversity of people moving to that state. It's a hodgepodge for sure.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's not dominated, I guess, by any one city. Well, maybe it is. I'm not from there.
I don't think it is. I think it's pretty, you know, like Idaho has, we have Boise.
Yeah.
You go to Boise, go to, you know, the capital, but there's just so many cities in North Carolina that are just, you know, tons of colleges and large cities and airports and all this stuff.
Are these different cities? Are they all characterized? Are they all kind of similar? They're similar in size. Are the different cities, do they have different character to them?
Yeah, I think in the outskirts side, the western side of the state, you have like Boone and Asheville, and those are dominated by tourism, people seeking the outdoors, real estate development as far as like secondary homes. Mm-hmm. And then also on the coast, you know, you got Wilmington, the Outer Banks, you have those towns also dominated by tourism. Mm-hmm. And then the center of the state is just, you know, it's just kind of like agriculture, the sciences, the majority of the colleges, sort of, you know,
stuff. I'm a sports fan, and I find myself every Saturday during football and basketball season. Now, where is North Carolina State? Where is Duke? Where is Davidson?
All, yeah.
You know, there's so many incredible schools in the state.
Yes, there's tons. And you know, with Duke and Carolina and State, they're all pretty much separated by 8 miles between each school. So that's pretty intense. And, you know, lots of people really prideful about, you know, Carolina and Duke and some state, but
Davidson with Stephon Curry.
Yes. And my dad played football at Davidson. He graduated in 1969 and was the kicker for the only Davidson football team to go to a bowl game. They played the Tangerine Bowl in 1969 against, I think, Tulane, I believe. And they lost, but still quite an experience.
What a thrill. Do you get back often?
You know, not as much as I want. You know, I think it's kind of turned into, you know, going back is to go see my mom and dad or to go see my wife's mom. Definitely not as much free time just to take quick trips out to North Carolina.
Okay.
I wish I could, but I feel like, you know, when we get time off now, we head over to the coast west of here.
When you do go back.
Yeah.
What has changed, if anything, you know, in terms of from a kid growing up, scrambling everywhere over the hills and that sort of thing? Obviously, you're older.
Yeah.
Your perspective is different. I mean, do you have a romantic feel for having grown up in North Carolina, Asheville?
Yeah, I kind of fall into that category of being like, oh, man, I had such good memories. And I kind of like idealize maybe a little bit more. I think the biggest thing that's changed is when you go there, you're like, oh man, I remember that used to be a field. Oh man, that used to be a forest. Oh man. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that you'll see no matter who you are, when you go back to places where you haven't been in a long time or maybe explored, is the stuff that you do remember as a small child, which did seem so large, now seems small. and it's been replaced by, you know, four-story apartments, strip malls, or, you know, the 13th bank in a town of 4,000 people. It's just like there's just this growth that you see from maybe from the outside perspective of just like, you know, the evolution, but you don't really see that growth. I don't think it changes. I mean, people are still the same, right? Mm-hmm. People are still, you know, there, but it's just what's changed with the landscape and buildings and, you know, it's lost its, to me at least, going back, it's just lost that smaller charm, replaced by just people trying to race around.
The coast of North Carolina is
shrinking.
It's shrinking. is interesting. There's Wilmington, I guess. I had to look at a map and see what cities are located on the coast. It's interesting because most of the large cities we've mentioned so far are inland.
Yes.
Whereas you think of usually the big population centers tend to be on the seaboard.
Right. Yeah.
But the coast of North Carolina is relatively unique in the United States.
It's
a different kind of coastline.
It's definitely, you have small towns, like old little fishing towns, and Wilmington is the hub there. And then the further north you go, you get to the outer banks, which are kind of hard to get to. A side note, I will say this because if my mom hears this, the show Matlock was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That's right.
Yep.
So I didn't know that.
You probably wouldn't know that.
No.
But that's a side note. So
now you do.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay. I don't know. This is totally the opposite side of the state from you, but yeah, those outer banks it's a very interesting coastline.
Yeah. It's super interesting, you know, and the sound between the Outer Banks and the mainland is the Pamlico Sound, and great seafood, great fishing opportunities. The coastline of the Outer Banks, I mean, like, you'll see it every time a storm comes through. You'll see it on like national news.
Yeah.
A house on stilts just getting wiped away. And that's one thing that's interesting about the Outer Banks is they are, you know, getting smaller and smaller with storms churning up and taking away some of that beautiful coastline. But I mean, beautiful beaches, warm water, great surf, sand dunes.
Cape Hatteras.
Cape Hatteras, yes. Lighthouses. It's all the good stuff.
Yeah, just beautiful.
And sweet tea.
What?
Do you know what sweet tea is?
I have had sweet tea. Yeah, I've liked sweet tea. Unless, is this a euphemism for something? This is just tea with a lot of sugar in it.
It is, but I feel like, and this is very Southern, but I feel like, you know, when we first moved here, we moved here in 2017, and, you know, I kind of was off a sweet tea kick, but, you know, heaven forbid someone has sweet tea in this town. Even as like a joke, you just can't get it.
Yeah.
It's just unsweet, that tea. You need that sweet tea.
I lived in Texas for a little while and
I got into it.
Yeah. I got introduced to it. Yeah. Can you actually drive that coast, or how do you get to and from the islands on the,
Yeah, you can drive most of it. I think there's like, I think going into Ocracoke is an island. I think that's a ferry. And then you have, they're connected all the way up until you get up into Virginia there.
Sure. Yeah. It looks like there's kind of ferry routes, but it was the internet.
But it was hard, like going from Asheville to the Outer Banks. I mean, it's like going from Sandpoint to Boise. It's a marathon to get out there in one day. You know, you're like 8-9 hours.
So. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ever been to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina?
Yes. Yeah. Ran up the sand dunes and that's another place, you know, North Carolina takes great pride in the Wright brothers, but people from Ohio just, you know, they claim the brothers, but we claim they took flight. And so we just say, just say, bless your heart, Ohio, just bless your heart.
That's so. Right. Yeah. The landscape was, unforgiving in Ohio for they were bicycle mechanics, right?
Yeah.
The Wright brothers.
You can't really get too much speed off anywhere in Ohio.
Nope. Came down and had to take that first flight in, I think, Kill Devil Hills.
Yep.
Yeah. Right outside Kitty Hawk. Yes. First in flight is possibly on your license plate?
It sure is.
I want to say it is.
It is. And that was a big deal when I remember when they, when the government did those quarters that were all like about the 50 states.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it had First in Flight on the North Carolina quarter. I think the Ohio quarter had like something else. It was like, it was kind of like a little jab at,
yeah,
at the First in Flight call that North Carolina. I mean, like, yeah, we claim it. We're like First in Flight. Like, that's us. We did it.
Yeah.
But we did half of it.
Boy, yeah. There's South Carolina and Ohio. Is there any state that borders North Carolina that you get along with?
You know, I don't really hear too much about Virginia. I kind of feel like we get along, and then, you know, and then Tennessee is
off over there.
It's just there.
Yeah. Know,
but yeah, also a beautiful state. But yeah, I feel like Virginia is the one state that we get along pretty well with. Well, no qualms with Virginia.
Virginia needs you. Otherwise, it'd slide down to South Carolina.
I know. I mean,
you hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Let's see. The Appalachian Trail. This is really more Jim's bailiwick, but yes. The Appalachian Trail goes through North Carolina, does it not?
It does. Yeah. Not very much of it. I want to see about 70 miles or something like that.
It skirts back and forth with Tennessee a lot.
With Tennessee a lot.
The largest portion that's continuous is from the border of Georgia up to Fontana Dam. And so for those people on the radio who are listening, Fontana Dam is the southern terminus of the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the Appalachian Trail goes up and
into the Smokies.
And then the rest of the way, it's just friends with Tennessee and back and forth.
Just a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
You know, and I've only hiked part of it, but I loved it.
It's beautiful.
Oh, you know, springtime.
What about the flora and fauna? Is this, this is hardwood trees mostly?
Lots deciduous? Of hardwood trees. Yeah. Until you get up to around 5,800 feet. Side note, and this is also just a little quiz fact, is that North Carolina has the highest peak east of the Mississippi.
That is an interesting fact. I had no idea.
Yep, it's called Mount Mitchell. Mm-hmm. It's near Asheville, and it's 6,684 feet tall.
Okay.
And that's the homeschooler coming out at me right there. Uh-huh. But but
you passed your mom's geography exam.
Thanks, Mom. Uh-huh. But flora and fauna, you know, it's just like here. It's, you know, we have tons of deer. People love to fly fish, and you get brook trout and rainbow. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that's different about some of the fauna is the amount of black bears in North Carolina. It's wild. Like where we moved from, we were right outside of Asheville, and I mean, it was almost every other day you'd see a black bear. They're a part of growing up in the mountains. Like, you just see, they're getting in dumpsters, they're breaking in people's cars, they're on your back porch, they're in your swimming pools. It's just like black bears are, they're kind of like deer at that point. It's just, they're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Culturally, what kind of people did you grow up around? Who lives in North Carolina?
It's definitely a mix of everybody. I feel like the split is, I feel like it's pretty even across the board. Like there's a lot of diversity. And I think that's one thing that honestly moving to the inland Northwest was a big change for us getting here. And that's something growing up, you know, I think you have that sort of like, you're just immersed in all types of cultures, like people from all sorts of regions and skin types and all that stuff. And so you're not even like aware of it in a certain sense, but when you go somewhere where it's there is lacking that, or it's not the same, then you're like, oh man, like that's a part of society, or that's a part of my childhood that I know I don't like, I know I'm not like making that up. Like, I really miss that level of sort of like shared diversity. And that was pretty cool. But, I mean, you get it all there. It's just with so many colleges in that state.
Yeah.
The amount of like ideas and thoughts and, lifestyles, it's just, North Carolina is a very, very large state when it comes to that.
We only touched upon one small aspect of sweet tea. What else would be something that would be typically,
oh my gosh,
North Carolinian that I'd have to wrap my lips around? You know what I mean?
And this is something I tried to make my own here, and it was a complete fail. But fried okra.
Ooh.
Yeah. So okra is a native plant of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So of course it came over during like the slave trade. And so okra is huge in the South, but fried okra, y'all, I mean, come on. It'll change your life. It's people love it, people hate it, but man, like fried okra is just.
So you haven't mastered it yet?
No, because like it's, and there's a lady in town named Audra who I think, you know, we all know Audra. And the last couple of years, like I had asked her to help me grow okra.
And so you were able to grow it?
She worked her butt off and she got, I think, 4 plants to grow, which does not happen in North Idaho.
Wow.
But the plant was struggled so much. I think I ended up with like maybe 12 pieces of okra and, you know, that's enough for like 2 spoonfuls. So. But it can be done. But okra is something that, and really good shrimp. I miss fried shrimp too. So those are my sweet tea.
Shrimp okra, and okra. Sweet tea.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. We are short on time now a little bit. The research triangle is something I know, that's a term I know.
Yes.
And I don't really even know what are they researching in the research triangle?
I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah. But someday they'll figure it out though. Probably.
Will they? So yeah. So research triangles at Raleigh, Chapel Hill, Durham, with the 4 schools there.
Yeah.
Or the 3 schools. Yeah.
But they, computers, I'm guessing? I don't know. So it's
yeah, so
the East Coast Silicon Valley, sort of?
Well, I mean, so NC State is a veterinary program school.
Okay.
You know, you have Duke Med, Carolina Med, NC State being more of like engineering and veterinary services. And then the other stuff they research, I don't even know. That is above my homeschooling knowledge.
Faulty education.
Thanks a lot, Mom. But yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge growing area, or has been a growing area for most of your
life. And I'm sure tech too. I'm sure there's a lot of tech. There's just tech everywhere.
Tech everywhere. Yeah. There's a, I don't know. Just it's different than it was in the movie Bull Durham, one of my favorites.
Yes. Durham. Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Durham is not it's not that kind of sleepy little town anymore.
No.
That it once was.
No. It's bustling and packed and, Can I say one thing really quick?
Yes.
Another thing that goes back to the sweet tea is there's a lot of hot dog stands, like lots of little neighborhood hot dog joints in the South too. I miss that. Yeah. Just like little brick and mortar. You go in, you get your bag of chips, a hot dog, and a glass bottle of Coke or cheer wine, and then you're on your way. And I miss that.
Let me ask you this. Is okra by itself, or do you eat it with other items?
Yeah. I mean, you can put it in jambalaya or gumbo. Fry it up. You can pickle it.
Okay.
It's an amazing vegetable.
Okay. Yeah. Soon to come to North Idaho.
I'm holding my tongue on okra.
Yeah.
I've never been impressed, personally. I'm sorry.
Okra?
I've never been to North Carolina. I've never had it right.
Never had it done right.
Right. I've had pickled okra, and I think I've had it fried, and I was, you know.
It has a texture and some other things about it that people don't like, so.
Well, count me one of those, whatever it is, one of those okras.
One of those
unbelievables.
One of those people. Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for coming into the station so enjoyed hearing about North Carolina. Yeah. And you said that you have some artists that you'd like to share with us. We'll do that after, as you exit out. We'll get some names and some music.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for supporting 88.5 KRFY.
Cool.
Stick with us. I'm Jack Peterson, and that's Jim Healy. We forgot to introduce ourselves at the beginning of the show.
That's okay.
And we'll be back.
I'm sitting here eating my okra.
We'll be back after our little musical interlude, some music from North Carolina, and talking to somebody from, I'm guessing, North Dakota after this.